Hey, this why we here, dog. Uh-huh. Big time players. That's what we need today. We need energy. We need oneness, dog. We need to be remembered. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, champions on three. 1, 2, 3. Champions.
That's Chief Safety Tyrann Mathieu before Super Bowl 54, doing exactly what Kansas City brought him in to do, lead. But it wasn't always obvious that the man known as the Honey Badger would be the ideal teammate on the field and off. Today, Dominique Foxworth explains what it took for Mathieu to become a template for how to play the modern game. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, October 15th. This is ESPN Daily. Did you have any cool nicknames when you were in the NFL?
No, I didn't. I mean, I guess they were cool to me. Like, people call me Fox or Neek or something like that.
Yeah, that's not that cool.
What were your cool nicknames when you were in the...
Varsity debate team?
Yeah, what did they call you back then?
The Filipino Bambino?
That was completely made up on the moment.
Yeah, it was. Dominique Foxworth is a retired NFL defensive back and now senior writer for The Undefeated. His cover story on Tyrann Mathieu is out today on ESPN.com. The nickname I'm here to talk to you about, Dominique, is of course the Honey Badger. And... Tyrann Mathieu and that nickname, let's just unpack that first. What is it? Why does it fit this guy?
Well, I mean, it's funny because the Honey Badger Don't Care was like the slogan.
The Honey Badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a The Honey Badger.
And that's why I got attached to Tyrann Mathieu, because he was like a smaller guy, 5'9", not all that fast, not all that big. And he would just throw himself into crazy situations and make unbelievable plays at LSU.
That was Tyrann Mathieu who ripped the ball out. This freshman out of New Orleans is a playmaker.
So he got stuck with the name Honey Badger. The crazy thing about Tyrann Mathieu was him off the field, like, he cared a whole lot. His nickname didn't quite fit off the field in the same way that it did on the field.
But the nickname has stuck pretty much his whole career. And when the Chiefs signed the Honey Badger in 2019 for what turned out to be their Super Bowl season, what did that team need and what did they get?
Yeah, they needed a bunch of things. The thing that we were probably most surprised about is how much they needed that caring. He cared so much. That's infectious. It made him a leader on that team. And also, another thing that I focused on quite a bit on is his flexibility and his ability to play multiple positions, which improved that defense dramatically. So Tyrann brought a bunch of things to that team.
So what you're describing here, Dominique, is something that's pretty tricky because it's intangible, right? It's speaking to quote-unquote culture. It's speaking to team psychology. What's the tangible evidence that he is everything that the pro Tyrann Mathieu camp claims he is?
I think you could tell a lot of intangible stories, but from a tangible point, their team moved up 12 spots from a defensive efficiency rating when Tyrann got there. And at the end of the season, after they won the Super Bowl, after Patrick Mahomes pretty much perfected the quarterback position in 3 straight comeback victories in the Super Bowl, the team voted Tyrann Mathieu the MVP.
You get a lot of accolades from the league, all pro, but to be named team MVP by your peers that you go to work with every single day, talk about that.
I mean, you know, it means a lot to me. You know, I think each and every day I wake up and go to work, you know, it's really to make the people around me better, right? I want to build, you know, my teammates up. I want my coaches to be able to trust me.
So I don't know how else to explain how impactful that man could be. To think that he had only been there for a year, and whatever goodwill he built up in that year, whatever value he demonstrated in that year, was enough to get him the MVP over guys who may have been there longer, and the guy who was maybe the best player we've ever seen play the quarterback position. To me, that speaks for itself.
So what was the understanding of Tyrann Mathieu Before he gets to the Chiefs, what is the scouting report on that guy?
Well, Tyrann Mathieu, if you go all the way back to before he was drafted, he was kind of saddled with the character guy, like has character issues because he got arrested for possession of marijuana and he tested positive for smoking marijuana in college. Something that we look at now with a little different eyes than we did back then. So Tyrann had to kind of break that stigma. He also established himself as a really impactful player, but he was plagued by injuries. So many seasons, he only played a full season once in Arizona, and then he signed a one-year deal with Houston, where he was pretty impactful there too. So I think the major risk for Tyrann Mathieu was no longer about character or his play, it was about his health.
So we'll dive into the character stuff later, but in terms of the health and the X's and O's and what he brought out of himself with the Chiefs, how did we see that at work in their Super Bowl season?
Yeah, he did everything. Tyrann Mathieu's ability to play different positions on the field was really something that carried them through that playoff run. And also motivation. Out of all the people on the team, they chose him to give the speech before the Super Bowl.
All we had to do was believe in each other and play for each other. I watched a lot of people step up, dog. Big time players. That's what we need today. We need oneness, dog. We need to be remembered. Let's go. Let's go. Hey, champions on three. One, two, three.
And when you're on the sideline and they just gave up a touchdown and it looked like the game was almost over, Tyrann Mathieu was the one kind of getting everyone's attention, firing everybody up. And when he gave that speech on the sideline, the 49ers didn't score again.
So you write this passage in your piece that is a towering endorsement of Tyrann Mathieu, and I'll read it for you. In the same way that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes have ended the debate over pro-style and dual-threat quarterbacks, Mathieu has changed the conversation on defensive styles. He's become the model defender in today's NFL, the skeleton key that can unlock defenses. So how does he do all of that?
I think it's because of his flexibility. So I break down the X's and O's many times over in that piece and explain how he puts himself in positions that you wouldn't expect other players to be able to do. And so there's a play from their clash with the Ravens last season where he goes from playing curl flat on the left side to breaking up a pass in the middle of the field.
Jackson to the end zone, knocked away. Mathieu got back there defensively to make a play on the ball.
If you look how he came off his original assignment and almost picks this one off.
That's a play that you have to have the smarts and the comfort to do that not very many players have played in enough positions to understand what's happening no matter where they are on the field. And when he was coming into the league, the big knock on him, aside from the so-called character issues, was we don't know what position he's going to play. Like, he's not fast enough to play corner. He's not big enough to play safety or linebacker. We have no idea what he's going to play. And that actually, that liability ended up being his biggest assets. Now, when you look around the league, everybody's trying to do that. All the best safeties and many of the best defensive backs in the league, and some even linebackers. You see Isaiah Simmons being drafted number 7 overall. The reason why these guys are so highly touted, it's the same reason why Tyrann Mathieu was bumped down to the 3rd round, because no one's quite sure exactly what position they're supposed to play because they can play them all.
But it's kind of absurd, right? Isaiah Simmons is how tall, how big?
Yeah, Isaiah Simmons is 6'4", I think, and like 250. And his whole time at the combine, he couldn't stop telling people how he was like Tyrann Mathieu.
First name that comes to mind would be like Tyrann Mathieu, because he bounces around. He'd play anywhere in the back 7. So I know, like, years ago, it wasn't good to be a positionless guy, but now it's became a benefit for me.
He was trying to convince everybody that he was like somebody who's 5'9", 190, and ran a 4'5", while Simmons is superhuman size and ran a 4'3".
So how does Tyrann Mathieu describe himself then? How does he want to be perceived as a player and a teammate?
When I asked him this question, it made me so happy, because the first thing he said was sensitive. Obviously, everyone's going to describe him as instinctive and versatile and ferocious and aggressive. There's stories about him telling opposing receivers that he was going to take their life. So he's not always that sensitive. But the most important thing to him is that the people in his locker room and the people in his life recognize that he is vulnerable and available for them no matter what they should need.
So that's the difference in his emotional composition, which is startling for the reasons that you said. The visual, though, I want to continue to paint that portrait, too, because as a college player at LSU, Davidik, he was kind of the forefather of a lot of the style that we see among younger players now. What did he do differently?
Yeah, so he was an aggressive player, and he's the first guy that we saw with that blonde mohawk, at least the first guy on the football field. Tyrann Mathieu also reminds everyone that he was the first guy to put the eye black just on one eye, and something that you'll see if you turn on the games on Sunday. But Tyrann doesn't really care necessarily about those trends as much as I think he takes pride in the versatility that he's brought to the game. That trend, I think he feels more proud and confident in the way that he's changed the game in that way.
So where does all of this individuality come from?
New Orleans, like, is the best way I can describe it.
Being from New Orleans gives you a sense of, you know, pride about who you are. And it also gives you the spirit of, no matter what, I'm going to be all right because I'm going to get through it.
And then he always has this great deal of confidence to overcome so many things, which is something that I feel is uniquely New Orleans, a city that is underneath sea level, that's always kind of rebuilding and still celebrating throughout it all. Tyrann Mathieu is that guy, a guy who has abandonment issues from his family, a guy whose father is in jail. From the day he was born, he had to go live with his grandmother because his mother didn't take him in. So when you ask him how you want people to see him and he says sensitive, it's because more than he looks up to any former players or any athletes, he looks up to his grandmother. When she was alive, she was a beacon for their community. He remembers living there and her opening her home to people in the neighborhood who needed refuge. And that was something that he tries to do going forward because that's who he looks up to. And so he started a mentor program that he calls The Shift, where he kind of virtually talks to kids, inner city kids from New Orleans on a regular basis. He also, after their season opening game, he was on a jet the next morning to a shift meeting with those guys in New Orleans. He's very politically engaged, so much so that he even talks to the kids that he mentors and encourages them to run for local office.
In order for us to really save the world, all of us can't be ball players. You know, some of us have to take the hard jobs.
And I think it all kind of goes back to his grandmother. It's like she, in his mind, she never rested. And she always fought to make things better for the people around her. And he feels like he needs to do the same thing.
And he's added a voting initiative to his work off the field. So what's his motivation with that?
Yeah, I think like a lot of people, the events of the past year and the summer in particular have kind of impacted him. And he's never been someone who's been politically engaged. Now it's kind of ironic because this will also be his first time voting. Tyrann's made it clear that up until now, he kind of believed that voting wasn't for him or people like him.
Growing up, you know, in dysfunctional cities, I just don't think that the spirit in the air was that could help us. That was for us. That was built for us.
He's come to see the world differently because he doesn't think that there is any other option other than to be politically engaged. He's been pushing not only the people in New Orleans and the people in Kansas City to vote, but also his teammates to vote.
We're educating people, right? You're giving them the resources, the tools, the fundamentals to be confident, you know, in the voters' process.
He talks to Patrick Mahomes a lot, really pushing him on a regular basis to get more and more involved in the community. And we saw both Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Mahomes in that video that the players sent to Roger Goodell, demanding that the league get more involved in social justice issues.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
believe Black Lives Matter.
So I think that's really been this summer that's kind of sparked this renewed commitment to his community for Tyrann Mathieu.
All right, coming up, let's tell the story of Tyrann Mathieu's winding path from college football to the NFL and what his legacy might become.
Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Dominique, what did it mean for Tyrann Mathieu to make it to college and join the LSU Tigers?
It was a big deal for him. He was on the St. Augustine team, which also had a young Leonard Fournette on it. So lots of scouts came to see Leonard Fournette. He was the big deal in New Orleans football at the time. And Tyrann Mathieu was someone who people were aware of, but he wasn't the highly touted recruit. So to end up at LSU and to make an impact as a freshman, that was everything to Tyrann.
Yeah, so he gets to LSU and he becomes a star straight up. He ends up being a Heisman finalist. He becomes the nation's best defensive player in 2011. What made him shine so brightly as a college player?
I think it was just the bravado that he played with, the aggression, the enthusiasm, and his ability to make plays where there were none.
Here's Murray out to the 5'7" running back. Whoa. Tyrann Mathieu makes his presence felt on the first LSU defensive play.
He would cause fumbles and types of things that you don't necessarily think of as big plays, but where you saw no opportunity for the tide to change for that team, Tyrann Mathieu would find a way. He was always the guy when they needed a big play. Tyrann Mathieu was the guy that gave it to him.
And how rare is that combination of talents, the ability to do all of those things that you mentioned?
It's incredibly rare. Like, LSU is obviously a football factory, and I think most people would say that Joe Burrow is the best player that they've had. But prior to last college football season, anyone you talk to from LSU would tell you that Tyrann Mathieu was the best player that they had there.
And so all of that becomes even more striking because in 2012, before his junior season, that trajectory of the best player in school history to that point, it all comes grinding to a halt. It is August. He's getting ready for the season. And what happens?
He got arrested for possession of marijuana, and this was kind of the final straw for him at LSU. They put him out of school, and he was kind of aimless at that point. He'd always been on a team, and that's where he kind of drew his familial ties, and he didn't have that anymore. And he takes complete responsibility for this. I gave him many opportunities in our conversation to point out how differently we look at marijuana today and maybe shift some of the blame elsewhere. But he was not interested in having that conversation.
I felt low because I knew that wasn't who I was. I've always been a good dude. I've always been a true leader. But I feel like at that moment, you know, I had let everybody down, but mostly I let myself down.
Tyrann Mathieu accepted that he had made some decisions that put himself in a bad situation. And he didn't regret it because of obviously the person that it made him today. But he understands how bad it was for him at the moment. In Tyrann's case, he had had a very difficult childhood and he started to use marijuana to cope with the stress and anxiety that came with that.
Marijuana was just an escape that I had. For me, it was about taking control of myself, being in control of my emotions. Once I was able to control that, you know, I was really able to control everything else.
So there is this sort of cascade of consequences, and it follows him into the NFL draft.
He's proven to be irresponsible. That makes him a poor teammate and a poor risk.
How does this inform what happens to him in the draft in terms of how he's perceived as a future pro?
Yeah, I think that he got kind of cast with the character issues stigma that we all hear every year around draft time. Sometimes it's founded and sometimes it's not. But for everyone who you talk to, he was the consummate teammate. He had high character.
And given all of that skepticism and that scouting report, how has he been able to move past it in the NFL?
Well, when he first got in the league, that was his goal. His goal was to erase that misconception about him. It was to let everybody know who he really was, how he was a team guy, how you could rely on him. Immediately after his name was called at the draft, they interviewed him. Trey Wingo was asking him a bunch of questions.
Obviously, a lot of your troubles in life have been chronicled over the last year and a half. What's the one thing that people need to know about you that they don't know?
I've been across that bridge, man. I haven't failed a drug test. I haven't been in trouble. I'm ready to play football.
Tyrann Mathieu didn't care about anything as much as he cared about football. So be it weed or anything else, he was going to leave that by the wayside if it got in the way of him getting to the place that he felt like he belonged.
And so how successful has he been in the years since then in establishing that, in fact, he is not the bad teammate, quote unquote, that some people had pegged him as?
I think the best way I can answer that question is talk about how the Chiefs decided to offer Tyrann Mathieu a contract. They had decided based on his ability level that maybe an $11 million a year contract was what they should offer him. When he hit free agency, other teams wanted him, so his price started to climb. And some people in the front office said, nah, we're not going to pay that because he's not worth that. And then the pro Tyrann group explained what he brought to that team. It was put to me in this way. He will make our guys believe. They paid him $14 million a year, and the guys who were against him, I've talked to them since then, and they've all said they had their mind completely changed.
So let's zoom out, Dominique, and get historical for a second, because I want to contextualize just how unique a player Tyrann Mathieu is and sort of his impact on the position. So throughout NFL history, you can look at safeties, whether it's Jack Tatum or Ronnie Lott or John Lynch or Ed Reed, your former teammate with the Ravens, Troy Polamalu. Where does Tyrann Mathieu slot into that matrix of Hall of Famers?
He's not like any of them. He's unique. And I think that the modern safety is more like him than they are like those guys, which is why he is so special. So maybe he doesn't get to the Hall of Fame because his numbers aren't all that impressive. But he, in the same way that Michael Vick kind of came in the league and he was kind of the first guy that made us consider maybe we're playing quarterback the wrong way, that's who Tyrann was. He was the first guy to come into the league and say, well, maybe we need to do something different at this safety position. And now when you look around at the guys who are first team All-Pro, those guys play like Tyrann Mathieu.
Dominique Foxworth, Foxy, the Fox, thank you for telling an extraordinary story on ESPN Daily.
Read it. This is not enough. Don't just listen to this.
Spoken like a true journalist. Up next, after so much buildup and bravado, one particular college football conference is suddenly scrambling due to the coronavirus. And it's not over yet.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. It has been one hell of a five-day run for SEC football in this pandemic. This all started on Saturday after Florida lost by 3 to Texas A&M in front of a startling 25,000 fans in College Station. A reporter asked Gators coach Dan Mullen how much that crowd mattered. And he said this.
Crowd was certainly a factor in the game. I will certainly say that. I know our governor passed that rule, so certainly, hopefully, the university administration decides to let us pack the swamp for LSU next week. 100%, because that crowd was a major factor in the game. And so I certainly hope our university administration follows the governor. Our governor has passed a rule that we're allowed to pack the swamp. We have 90,000 in the swamp to give us that home field advantage that Texas A&M had today.
Given that the state of Florida has more than 742,000 COVID cases and more than 15,000 COVID deaths, Mullen's hopes for the LSU game did not go unnoticed. And on Sunday, the very next day, another reporter asked the coach if he regretted anything he said.
You know, I think we're a model of safety of what we've been doing during this time period, so I'm really proud of how we've handled everything.
At this point, I'm guessing, you can already imagine what happened next.
The University of Florida is pausing football due to COVID-19. The Gators tweeted it is out of an abundance of caution. The school says it has seen more positive tests among players this week. No word on whether they will play LSU coming up on Saturday.
But yesterday, the day after hitting pause, we got word from the university itself. No, the Gators would not be playing LSU this Saturday. And no, the Florida football team is not actually a model of coronavirus safety. Their athletic director, Scott Strickland, announced that a total of 21 players are currently testing positive for COVID, with some of them having reported symptoms just hours after Mullen's Sunday presser. And after tracing their close contacts, fewer than 50 scholarship players would even be available to take the field. In fact, Florida's current working hypothesis is that the outbreak can be traced to none other than Texas A&M, the very place Mullen had cited 48 hours earlier as this model of mid-pandemic home field advantage. Strickland, the AD, was asked about those calls to pack the swamp again yesterday.
Coaches sometimes say things that are outside their area of expertise, and they're really good at what they do. Dan is really good at calling ball plays. I'll share a story with you. I mentioned Dr. Mike Lizardo earlier. I had a conversation with him yesterday, and he said, "Hey, since Coach Mullen is now getting into public health policy, I want to know, can I call some plays?" So I told him I'd make a deal that going forward, Dan will focus on calling plays and we'll let Dr. Lizardo focus on the public health policy.
And so now Florida will play nobody on Saturday. And they'll play LSU in December, at least in theory. Because as of right now, the whole SEC is being consumed by this pandemic. A separate outbreak at Vanderbilt had already postponed their game Saturday at Missouri. And mere hours after Strickland's presser, Alabama announced that both Nick Saban and Greg Byrne, the Tide's AD, tested positive for the virus. And it is also worth noting that LSU had revised its public health policy just last week. Alcohol sales are once again permitted in Tiger Stadium. And you know those CDC wellness check things, those 4 questions fans had to answer by mobile app to try and screen out the virus before entry? Those checks are no longer required because the wait times to get into the game were apparently too long. And at this point, I'm guessing, you can already imagine what happens next. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.